You got it?
Oh no, the intro. No, I remember telling you I had one. I immediately, it's like not in my brain right now. I have like, nope, just fucking, I have Alzheimer's, guys. I'm just saying.
Oh my God. That's the spoiler of the episode.
That's the intro?
He has Alzheimer's
Huh? I'm just
on a very special episode of Brutal Beers.
kidding. It's Alzheimer's Awareness Week.
I
Huh?
do the? Can I guess I can try the Who's the Boss theme? There's a time for love and a time for faith, a place to call the Brutal Dudes. Right? Isn't that the song?
I think so.
I feel like that's Who's the Boss. Beep, boom, boom, beep, beep, boom, boom. And then he goes, Angela, you're in the shower. Here, take some soap. And she's like, no, Tony, don't call me the soap in the shower. You remember that episode? He
No.
walks in on her, he's like, Angela.
Who's the Boss is one of those shows that I feel like thinking back on, like Small Wonder and stuff like that, where I'm just like, did I imagine this show?
No, dude, I
Like,
loved it. Alyssa, that's my first crush, dude. Alyssa Milano.
really?
Ooh, yeah.
See, not for me. Not in that show. I don't think I got interested in Alyssa Milano until later.
Oh no, I loved her in that show because I was my age. Same with Topanga. When Topanga came out, she
Oh,
was close to
sure.
my age, and I
Yeah.
was like,
I was more of a Winnie Cooper guy, but I get it.
oh yeah. She always reminded me of Flat Face. Like somebody hit,
What?
like she was a cartoon that someone hit with a frying pan.
He just said what I was thinking.
What?
He just went, what? He
No, he
said,
was just like, I was like, who's Flat Face and what, where do I know
yeah, I
him
know. I
from?
was
Like,
like, what Dick Tracy villain does she remind you of?
no, it's like, you know, in a cartoon when they hit you with a frying pan
Sure.
and then they pull the frying pan away and the face is the shape of the frying pan. I always felt like her face never went back fully to normal after she like splatted on a fucking frying pan. She would be like that weird smile that she did. But Topanga, man, she was thick in all the right places, dude. She had dumps like a truck. Whew.
Truck,
Dump
dude.
truck Topanga. My new girl, Bailey, the wrestler, she's got dumps like a truck. Man.
I liked Topanga as well, but I mean, at over everyone else, towering above all of the other childhood crushes, is Kelly goddamn Kapowski.
No,
Oh,
too many people were all about that, and
I'm a man.
I was
Zach is close second, but.
I always saw you as more of a Mario Lopez guy.
I gotta be honest, there's almost nobody in that cast I'm kicking out.
If I had to kick anyone out of the friend group, it would be Screech because he was useless. He wasn't even that smart. He's
I mean, we're not talking
actually.
about friend group, we're talking about the fuck group, the other F.
Well,
I mean, friends with benefits group.
Jesse Spano would be gone. They'd all be gone.
Really?
I wouldn't bang anyone from the Save the Bells Club.
Oh,
Save by the Bell
disagree.
class. No, that's a lie. You know who I would? Leah Remini
Oh, yeah.
from the Hawaii episodes. I would have to bang
I
her.
listen.
And the leather jacket Tori that liked him after Kelly left.
Yeah.
Remember Kelly left, right?
Yeah.
Leather jacket Tori, I would have banged the
Tori's
shit out of
great.
him. Ooh.
It was killing me because I was in my dentist office. This is like 6 or 8 months ago because I just had a checkup. So 6 months ago, I was in my dentist office and they were working on my teeth. And
Congrats. Good
arguing
on
about
you.
Leah Remini being in Saved by the Bell. The dental hygienist was like, no, she wasn't in Saved by the Bell. And the dentist is like, yeah, she was. It's driving me insane because I want to
And
jump
you
because,
can't talk.
yes, and I can't talk because they're fucking
Oh, I would
around
have said
in
it.
my
I
mouth.
would have said it. I
It
would
was
have been like,
bothering the
turn it
shit.
on.
We used to, there was a place, there was an office I used to work at. And I worked with, weirdly, there was like five or six of us who were like abnormally into Saved by the Bell like I am. And we could all endlessly quote the show. So we would have whole days of quoting Saved by the Bell at each other instead of speaking like normal people. So this was killing me that I couldn't do this.
I would that I had that same effect, the same thing, me and Marcus, when we were in college. I don't remember what year we were in college, but we had an entire day where we quoted the Big Lebowski for almost every comment. Like, and our go-to was 8-year-olds, dude. 8-year-olds. Like every time somebody said something that just didn't fit with what we were saying, we'd be like, 8-year-olds, dude.
We tried to do it with DMX lyrics, but that
It's a little
doesn't
tougher.
go far in
A
an
lot of dick
office.
talk in there.
Yeah.
A lot of dick talk in the DMX today.
I was it's not Darkman X, it's Dick.
Dickman X.
Welcome to the Brutal Dudes.
Yeah, it's great.
That's
I'm
all
Dick
the
Man.
intro. This is where I'm going to put the music. That was all
What's my
the
name? Dick Man X.
This is Petey Page. I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
What's my name? It's Dick Van X. And if you see the rest, you need the rest. You're looking like you need a rest. One more cock. Just throw like random dick words inside in his lyrics. I bet I could write a whole song like that from DMX.
Probably could.
This needs to happen.
I love him too much. He's the man. He sang Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer like a gangster rapper.
Now,
literally one of my favorite songs.
I saw a clip online recently of DMX talking with like the fucking the people who are producing like Def Jam Fight for NY, and he had a hand in like talking about his finishing move, and he's like, yeah, I want to flip onto their head and I want to like twist and snap their neck with my feet, and then like he sees the move happening and he's just like jumping up and down like fucking hype as shit. He's like, yeah, and I'm like, man,
ever play that game?
I loved that game. That was such a great fucking game.
Both of those games, Def Jam Vendetta, when they expanded the roster to have Busta Rhymes in it, done. Red Man and Method Man, the Jersey Turnpike, where he kicks you in the dick and flips you over. Great.
I feel like if they were to like not even remix that, but make a new Def Jam, fucking that would fly off the shelves.
21 Pilots on it.
What?
Just kidding. JK.
What the?
Put Diddy on it. He pulls down whoever's pants are there a little bit lower because they're all hanging down to their like below their ass anyway, and then he just puts a finger up the ass. That's the Diddy move. He's like, bad boy for life. I thought I told you that we won't stop.
No one else on the roster is underage, so he couldn't do that.
But I told you that we won't stop. Justin Bieber finger bang.
You know what would have been a great fighting game? And I know we can't do it, especially now, but even back then, they should have done a bad boy versus Death Row.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Like the Warriors? Or like the Lord of the Rings? Ooh. You could choose your side. I don't know. What's the game where you could choose your side? What game is that where you could choose the? You can either be the good guys or the bad guys, and you can lead them. Is that the Star Wars? You could be the Empire, or you could be the Rebels.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's Battlefront. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I should play that again. I love that game. I have two.
I was playing Star Wars Pod Racer, just random.
It's a good game. one of my favorite Star Wars games of all time is Jedi Power Battles. I love that game.
I never played Dark Forces, and it was just remastered. I
heard it was really good.
So I really want to play it.
I liked Force Unleashed 1 and 2. They were both good games. I have two things that happened to me, guys, that are very, very emotional that I would like to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Open yourself up to us.
I will. Ooh. Thing one, I think I found a life hack.
Wait, who's thing one? Oh, sorry. No, never mind. I'm thinking Dr. Seuss. My bad.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I found a life hack, and I was telling Pete about it about an hour ago. That's not a sign of approval. What's that?
I mean, yeah, I'm a little like, I don't know about this one, but we'll see how this goes.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
You ready for this? So I don't think being homeless is all that bad.
I think the word you were looking for is nomad.
Sure. But here's why. I was driving through Philly, as I am apt to do now for the past couple of weeks, because I've been forced by the demons of the fucking city to drive through, and I saw this overpass, and these guys had tents set up and like chairs and fires, and I'm like, maybe we're looking at homelessness from the wrong angle. Maybe, just maybe, homeless people know what's up. Think about it. I'd still work. You don't have to be poor and homeless. You can just be homeless. You don't have to worry about taking care of a house. You don't have to cut your grass. You can have a car.
Yeah, you just
park it anywhere.
You just want to live like a super minimalist lifestyle.
I don't even know if it's that. I said to Pete, I would keep all my collectible things, put them in storage in somebody's house, one of my sisters or somebody I trust, live out of my car. I could get a job where I'm remotely working, work during the day, 5-6 hours, do the work that needs to be done, get the work done, go do whatever else I want. I don't have to pay for a house. I don't have to pay taxes on the house. I don't have to pay for upkeep of the house. I can buy food as I need it. If I really want to have like an indoor thing, I could pay for a hotel because I like for a hotel room for a night. because I don't have to, but I could live out of a car. Like if I got an SUV, you put the seats back and just set up a little bed in the back. You can sleep in your car.
I mean, there's a whole, so it's not cars, but there's a whole world on YouTube of people who convert, who buy vans and convert them and live out of the van.
Yeah, live out of the van.
Yeah.
That's like, you could go visit people that you just for fun. You could stop at whatever city you want to for a night and figure out where you want to do. There's plenty of places to park where you could park the van and sleep in the van.
I fell down a Twitter thread where there was a guy who was doing that. It was a copy of a Reddit thread, but a guy who was doing that, like just living out of his van, and he found like a weird little cave, like off the side of the road, like in somewhere in Florida, and he's like, I think I'm gonna set up shop here and then just, you know, go to the grocery store when I need to and like, you know, do my remote work. And I was just like, whoa, bro's gonna be cave living. That's cool.
But that's what I'm saying. Like you could, and then you would never be tied down to a place. Like if you were like, man, you know, I wonder what Indianapolis is like in April. You know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna drive to Indianapolis. You have enough money because you have gas money and food money because you're not spending it on a house that you're ultimately just gonna be stuck in. Like a house is for somewhere where you're at. Yes, I agree with buying a house. I think buying a house is a great idea. I think owning a house is a great idea. If you need it.
Try it, millennials.
Yeah, right? If you need it. But, like, what if you didn't need it? Like, what do it, like, think about my life, right? If I could get a job where I'm working remotely, writing or doing whatever, I can write anywhere. We could do the podcast from anywhere. I just have to have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And then I would just need a day job where I could do it digitally, which there's millions of day jobs. That's where everything is converting to, is remote work. I could find a remote working job, spend the morning 6 hours doing remote work. I might not even have to do remote work. I could be a traveling masseuse. Ooh. Like go to school for it, get certified and be a traveling masseuse. And then just city to city, just I'm in your city. Here you go.
I'm in your city, rubbing your shoulders.
Full release.
I knew. Why did I know from the slow lean into the microphone that was what was coming? But anyway, I think that this is a cheat code for life. Like you don't, like I could live 10 years.
You should look up these videos. Like there's people who are, so years ago, I wanted to get like an RV or Winnebago, but the problem is like for touring and traveling and stuff, the problem with it is, because we had rented cargo vans, we've rented tour buses and all that. It's very expensive. Now it's impossible. The prices are astronomical and that stuff. But it was very expensive back then. So we looked at the idea of like, what if we just bought like a nice RV, like a high-end RV? But then we ran into all kinds of problems with insurance and storing it and all that kind of stuff. So it just never happened. But it got me interested in them, like, because some of those, like the high-end RVs are nicer than the tour buses
are.
Like they're pretty impressive things. My father-in-law, who's retired now, wants to start traveling more. He was in the military and everything, so he's a well-traveled guy to begin with. But he wants to start traveling more now, so he was looking at RVs and cargo vans, and he went down this YouTube rabbit hole of people buying vans, and that's not what he wants to do. But like he thought it was fascinating, and that got me reinterested in all of that again too.
Yeah, it was. The van idea is a great idea because then you can keep stuff in that, like you collect in the van.
The stuff that they do in the van is great, but it's one of those things like, and this is a problem with me just with a lot of stuff in general. I'm not a handy person.
Yeah.
So I would then have to hire somebody to do the alterations to the van to turn it into what they're showing on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it kind of defeats the purpose. Like I might as well just buy a full RV or Winnebago at that point with the amount of money it would cost me to hire somebody to do all that.
But I was thinking about it, and it's like my money would go a lot further because I wouldn't have to drive if I didn't want to. I could stay where I'm at. But if I wanted to go somewhere, I just fill up the tank and go.
Mm.
It's not a bad way to live. And I was like, and I was like, it really, like, especially if it's just me, like I could be a wanderer. Like I could just go.
Like Pete said, a nomad.
Yeah, but I don't want to. I feel like a nomad is more noble. I wouldn't be doing it
you
like.
Don't want to be noble.
No, like I wouldn't. Like I'm. I don't want
to. I want to be a piece of shit.
I don't want to be like a wandering fucking samurai, where I'm like saving people and going to villages and like protecting them from fucking villains.
Why the fuck not? That's
gonna have to be my ringtone. I want to be a piece of shit.
That's the intro.
but that's true.
It's the title of the episode for sure.
I don't want to be that guy. Like, I don't want to be the guy that, like, when a little kid sees me, like, he's like, "Mister, can you get my cat out of the tree?" Because I'll tell the kid to fuck off. Like, I don't care. I told somebody this weekend at WrestleMania they should punch the mom. What? Cody Rhodes' mom was in the crowd, and I was like, The Rock was walking up to her, and I said, "Punch his mom!" Really loud, and lots of people laughed. It was great. I was very proud of myself. My sister, not so much.
Philly thing I've ever
heard. My sister, not so much. But everyone else.
Why wasn't she?
She doesn't always like when I play to the crowd. When I'm in a situation like that and people start getting me riled up. Anyway, not the point. Sidetrack. This homeless thing is not. I think it's getting a bad rap. I think someone should take the reins of the homeless community and be like, guys, you don't have it as bad as you think you do. Minus the drugged ones, the ones that are like old meth heads or like coke addicts, like they probably have it bad. Like the ones that beg for money. I would never be that guy that begs for money. But I would absolutely be that guy that like shows up at a diner like for a week and gets the same meal so that they make the same meal for me like every breakfast. And then just drift away and then not come back for like 3 months and then show up 3 months later and be like, "Oh, hey, Jimmy, what are you doing? You want your eggs over easy with some bacon?" And I'd be like, "Yes, I do, Charlene. I would love that."
I love that there's a whole universe.
Yeah. Dude. Jimmy Homeless Universe.
Jimmy's like, Homeless
Jimmy variant.
Jimmy's like, "I'm not going to be the guy that begs for your money, but I will be the guy that begs for your time." And then he pulls out a little mandolin and just starts fucking like, ring, just a fucking tune.
"Let me tell you a little story about when I went to Indianapolis."
You could be a wandering bard.
What?
You'd be a wandering bard.
I could do that. I would absolutely be that. I could work. I'm telling you, this is a legitimate thing. This is the thing that could be accomplished.
As somebody who was homeless for a couple of days, it wasn't too bad. The main thing, and I'm sorry for all of the unhoused people listening to this podcast. My main thing was I didn't want to fall in any stereotypes of homeless people.
Right.
So we went out.
Grow a long beard.
Yeah. We went out to the mall. And Jen's like, "All right, so for anybody, listen, my house burned down. That's why."
He's not on meth.
My house burned down. So we're put into a homeless shelter, which was right up the street from where I live now. And it's a church. It wasn't. They made a makeshift homeless shelter there. And so we checked into there. I was like, "I'm not sleeping here." And we didn't.
It's like a fucking Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
Fucking refugee.
They're like, "Yeah, it's early. You get your own pick of cots." And I was like, "Hotel room it is."
You're like refugee camp?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Bunch of Haitian guys walk up to you and they're like,
"I'll be hey, man. On the waterfront."
"Hey, man, which cot do you want?"
But as far as we knew, like, we lost everything. And we didn't. The only thing we lost was our door and a TV from water surges for the TV and our door because the fire department kicked our door in. But the people on either side, it was an old industrial building that was turned into apartments. The people on either side of us, their apartments completely burned, but ours didn't. They got into ours and were able to ventilate it quickly. They smashed the windows out and kicked our door down. But other than that, it was fine. As far as we knew at that point, though, we lost everything. So we had no clothes. We had no. So Jen's like, "All right, do you have your credit card?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Let's go to the mall and get clothes." Because I had just come from work, so I just had what I wore to work, like my work uniform. So we went to the mall, so I was like, "All right, I'm just going to..." And I told them in the store, I was like, "Listen, I'm going to put these on. My house just burned down. I'm going to go put these clothes on. I'll leave the tags on, and you can scan me when I come out, but like these are the only clothes I have to wear." So she's like, "All right, meet me back, you know, in 20 minutes or whatever, and we'll get dressed and we'll put clothes on." So she comes back in like jeans and a t-shirt or whatever. I had shorts on, a Hawaiian shirt, sandals, and a big hat. She's like, "What the fuck are you doing?
You're dressed like Weekend at Bernie's?"
Yeah, basically. She's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Listen, I'm not going to look like every other homeless guy out here. Like, I'm here to change the perception
of homeless people.
Like that's what I'm here
for. And it starts with changing the attitude that people have towards homelessness.
Yeah. Well, I went to a party that night, like most homeless people do.
Yeah.
I went to a party that night. There was a band that we knew, and they were in town, and they were having a party at somebody else's, so they invited me. And they heard what happened, because weirdly, so the way one of my relatives found out is because a metal site wrote about the fire, who knew that I lived there. And it was like, Mike from Pagan's house burns down and all this stuff. It apparently didn't say, and I have the article still, I kept it because I thought it was hilarious. It didn't say I survived. It just said there was a fire and I was where I live.
My name is Mike too. Yeah.
So it didn't say like I lived. So one of my relatives called me up and they're like, you're alive, right? I saw the article. I'm like, what fucking article? What are you talking about? So everybody knew that this happened. So I went to this party and immediately everybody ran over to them. They're like, oh man, are you okay? They're like, you lost everything. You lost. What the fuck are you wearing? And I was like, well, I had to go to the mall and buy clothes. I lost everything. And they're like, that's what you went with? Nobody was on board with this is a practical way to dress.
That's
man.
Cool to me.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, but I'm contemplating changing my whole lifestyle and going the homeless route.
I get it. I mean, buying a house is extremely expensive.
Yeah. I want to do it. I want to do it eventually, but like I don't have the means right now. And like I could escape a lot of the shit that bothers me in life by being a nomadic presence.
That's the word.
I want to be a nomad. I don't want to be
a nomad. You don't want to accept nomad.
No, I don't. Nomad is too noble for me. I'm not into nobility. I want to be a
nomad. For anybody who doesn't know, was a handheld that Sega made that played Genesis cartridges.
Also, yeah, it was.
Also an alter ego of Captain America when he started to lose his Captain America powers in the mid to late 90s. He was called Nomad. And that's also why I know, because it was the goofiest thing ever. So the second thing that happened to me.
So you don't want to be called Nomad so that you're not confused in Captain America from the
90s. Yes. Yes. That's what that is. The
I get it.
It's an easy comparison.
Yeah.
You can see it in.
I get it. I lived my whole life with my scary age being 33 because that's when Jesus died.
That's fair. And you have a Jesus guy.
Yeah, I have a Jesus guy. But I mean, I feel like there's just so many comparisons between my life and Jesus.
Yeah, that totally.
Obviously.
Obvi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus was obviously into paganism.
Yeah. The Sanhedrin was going to beat down my fucking door any day.
You fought Romans.
Bible before. References, kids.
You fought Romans.
Where you get them.
You fought Romans before,
yeah.
Obviously.
Wait, is this the Bible episode?
No.
That's coming.
Here's the other thing that happened, and this is a really positive.
I mean, we can tie in like the Bible and WrestleMania. Like, it's totally possible.
I'm sure you absolutely can. That's an episode for another time. We're all exhausted. I don't have the time. The
Gospel of WrestleMania?
I don't have the time to read McMahon 372, okay? We don't have that sort of time here today. But what I will say is I spent the weekend watching wrestling and getting back into it. And not only did I get back into it, but numerous of my friends, because it was such a great WrestleMania, are now back on the on the horse of watching. Like, my cousin is fully invested in it again. And I mean, I didn't cry about this, but I choked up about it, because for a long time we weren't parallel with our fandom of wrestling. Like, he still liked the old stuff, and that's the stuff we watched. But like, there was a time in our lives when we were little kids, like, he's 2 years younger than me, so it was like I would be like probably 8 and he would be 6. Or like I would be 10 and he would be 8. And we would be calling each other Sunday and like Monday to talk about what happened on wrestling shows on the telephone phone, like the landline, just to talk about what happened to the British Bulldog. You know what I mean? And it was like, these are some of my favorite times of my life is having these conversations with my cousin. And even as it got up and like it got more popular, like neither one of us really stopped watching. We continued to watch. We just kind of kept it to ourselves when it was like nerdy to watch wrestling. And then it got big with Stone Cold again, and we were both already watching it. So we both got like we were both hardcore into it. Plus, Chris kind of looks like The Rock. Like he has a lot of resemblances to The Rock. So it's like that was another drawing factor of being fans of The Rock. But like we went to the SmackDown and the Hall of Fame induction. First of all, Paul Heyman's induction speech was one of the greatest induction speeches I've ever said. He literally told people that if they thought the spirit of ECW was dead, they could get down on their knees and suck his dick. He said it straight up.
Wow.
And they didn't even edit it out of the Peacock version of what I'm told. They just bleeped the curse word, which is so Triple H, it's not even funny. That's amazing. Because Triple H is now the head of creative. So this is the first WrestleMania that he's had full creative control over and been in charge of the company. And it was probably the best WrestleMania in 20 years.
Also, not to interrupt, but if anybody's listening to this, who's a big wrestling fan, I have a Nintendo 64, and I want to get a wrestling game for it, but I don't know which one.
NWO Revenge.
NWO Revenge?
Yeah, either NWO Revenge or WCW versus NWO. WCW versus NWO has a better creative wrestling.
WCW versus NWO was my jam, and some of the fucking moves and the match styles and that was like...
Yeah, it was the precursor to the great games that are there, which 2K25 for PS5, fire. Absolute fire. But
my favorite wrestling game is WrestleFest.
I love WrestleFest. It's a great game. I like Wrestling Challenge for Nintendo because you could be Bam Bam Bigelow and cartwheel into people. Mm-hmm. And since he's a fat wrestler and a fat guy on the game, mm-hmm. cartwheeling doesn't seem like the move that you should peg him for, but that's legitimately how you can knock Hulk Hogan down in that game. I really liked WrestleFest wasn't for Game Boy, but there was a Game Boy version of it that was great. I had it and it was awesome. I liked all of the Sega. It was Royal Rumble and then it was Monday Night Raw. Love those games.
I loved WrestleFest was my favorite. There was a Game Boy game I loved. It's probably the same one
that was Wrestling Challenge or something like that.
Something like that.
Or Superstars. No, it was called Superstars.
That was it. Yeah, it was Superstars. The next one that I got into was the WWF Arcade.
Yeah, that one with the live action looking guys like Mortal Kombat.
Which was eventually ported to everything.
That was cool.
But it was called WWF Arcade.
That was cool, but I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like the gameplay. The fighting was...
It's more like a fighting game than a wrestling game.
I liked the cartoony Royal Rumble because the moves look better. And then in Monday Night Raw, the game, or just Raw, whatever it's called, all of the characters have secret finishing moves. So they have their finishing move that you know what it is, right? So like, let's say that's the Razor's Edge, right? Mm. But then you have to hunt it down online or know somebody that knows the code. There's specialty finishing moves that they all do that are ridiculous. So like the 1-2-3 kid has one. And the 1-2-3 kid would jump from turnbuckle to turnbuckle like this and then do a moonsault and hit you. But it would be like a ridiculous, like completely the laws of physics are defied move.
Yeah.
For every wrestler had one. And it was awesome. I liked that. And then I got into the SmackDowns. I got into the Attitude, WWF Attitude. I got Warzone was the best game for a long time. And then when they started doing the new
ones. Backyard Wrestling?
I had that game. I didn't like the game.
I played it. And again, I'm not a huge wrestling guy, so maybe I don't know how much that played into it. It didn't seem on the same level as other wrestling
games. It wasn't. Games to me, though. It, what's sad, too, is even the ECW game was really good, but it was like, and not the ECW WWF game, the ECW sanctioned game. Mm. It was the old Warzone engine.
Okay.
And they had already moved on past that. And that's what sucked because it wasn't a bad game. It was just such an old engine that it wasn't fun to play. And it sucked because an ECW game with now today's technology would be the greatest fucking thing ever. I don't know how deep they get into it in the new WWE game, but apparently you can be any wrestler from like any era. And they have this incredibly huge roster. Like you can be Razor Ramon, Macho Man, Randy Savage, the Von Erichs, the Freebirds. Like you can be anyone. And the gameplay is supposed to be just ridiculously awesome. Anyway, but going to that and then seeing the speech, I cried twice at Paul Heyman's speech because it was so good and it was so poignant. Like for some reason, maybe it's what I needed to hear, but it hit me. Like this is a good speech, not just a good like induction speech for a wrestler. It's a good speech. So if you get a chance to watch it and you have Peacock, I recommend everyone go watch it. It's so good and poignant.
I do have Peacock.
It's poignant. It, even if you just watch him, because that's all I stayed for. I thought I was going to get stuck staying for the whole Hall of Fame, which would have let, it wouldn't have been done until 3 in the morning. Because it didn't start at 10:30. Paul Heyman was first. So I got to see Paul Heyman get inducted, and then I left. I didn't stay for any of the other people that got inducted. I felt disrespectful by doing that, but like it was already 1:30 when I was leaving. Mm-hmm. And I had work the next morning. So, but I went to both nights of WrestleMania, and I spent money on the tickets, and there were some snafus that we encountered. But it was, it reinvigorated my faith in the people who I look up to, like that I idolize, I guess is the way to put it. And something that I love, actually coming back from a dark abyss where you're looking at it, like there was times when I look at new wrestling and I'm like, this is terrible. This, they're never going to come back to what it was like when it was before. This event, both days, made me remember how good stuff can be when it's good. And it was spontaneous that way. I didn't see. I mean, I'm a writer. I think we've talked about this. I can see storylines from a mile away. Mm. There were genuine things that happened that I did not see coming. And I was just like, holy shit, that's incredible. It was so well put together. It was such a great event. Seth Rollins came out for his entrance on day two, the first match, dressed as a mummer with the Philadelphia String Band Association members all over doing the mummer's dance and playing his theme song at like on a mummer's, on a string band. And then he walked out and then they switched it to the regular music and they did mummer's walk around the ring. And his whole gear was based on the mummers. That's awesome. It's so awesome. Rey Mysterio's gear was all Philadelphia Eagles. He had two eagles on the where the bird wing comes on his mask, and his mask was Kelly Green for the, it was, everything was just so, you could tell that the details that everything was taken into account. Mm. The matches were great. The lineup was great. The people who, that Snoop Dogg showed up to do guest commentary. They were promoting the gin and juice that him and Dr. Dre make, now the alcohol. And he was there. He was a guest ring announcer. He got the crowd hype. He announced the attendance. It's the highest attendance WWE has ever gotten at an event at a WrestleMania. It's the most people showed up.
Damn.
For now. But it was just so good. The final match was like, and I know you're gonna know what I'm talking about, because I know you're like an older mm-hmm. kind of fan. And Pete, you might have some sort of an idea, but it was like, it was big match feel, like it had that big match feel like Hogan versus Warrior, mm-hmm. or like Macho Man versus Warrior for his career. Like, remember watching those matches and be like a Hulk and Andre. Watching those matches and like the story was more important than the actual fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this, you're final match, I was so in, like, I loved it as the story that it told, because it's like they paid homage to the old era with The Rock coming back as a bad guy and being the tie to the old, what was there when McMahon was diddling people. And like they tied, like that was the era and that's all you had. Now they had Cody Rhodes that represents the new era and the new wrestlers that got behind him. And it was like the mat, and this is my favorite thing that happens in wrestling. And it was just so powerful. Like when the story of the match is more important than the match. Like everyone was like, I saw some people commenting, like, oh, there's too many people in this, it was overbooked for the match. I don't think it was overbooked at all. I think the main event of WrestleMania should always be a one-on-one match. Whatever stipulations are whatever stipulations, but it should always be one-on-one. But that doesn't mean that other people can't get involved in the match to make it good. So what happened was, I don't know if you guys know, and I'm going to give you a quick synopsis. And then, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched WrestleMania, don't listen to this episode. Stop right here. Skip over this, because I'm going to spoil the ending. Because I know you guys aren't going to sit and watch it unless you're motivated to sit and watch it. But you need to know how this got me. So what happened was, The Rock and Roman Reigns fought Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins the night before to determine the stipulation for the match, the final title match between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. The Rock won. So that meant that it was bloodline rules, which is no disqualifications, no countouts. Anyone can interfere and it doesn't matter. So Cody Rhodes had the odds stacked against him because Roman Reigns runs the bloodline, which is all the Samoan wrestlers that are in the same family. They all come together, which The Rock is a part of it, and The Rock is like a super heel this time. He came back as a super bad guy, which was great. He was cursing. He says fuck like 20 times. Like, they edited it out, but it's like, he told Cody Rhodes, like, Cody Rhodes' tagline is like, finish your story. He was like, fuck your story, Cody Rhodes. I was like, that's amazing. But so what happened was, they're fighting in the ring. Here comes Jimmy Uso, which is the bad Uso brother, right? Rikishi's kids are the car called the Usos. Jimmy and Jay. Jay's the good guy. Jimmy beats up on Cody, interferes in the match. Here comes Jay to save the day. Spears his brother off the ramp through a table. The Usos are out of commission, right? Next, here comes Solo Sikoa. He's another member of the Bloodline. He's, I think he's one of the head shrinkers. I think Fatu, it's Fatu's kid. He comes in. He's beating up on Cody Rhodes. Here comes Seth Rollins, dressed in his old Shield gear, which he used to be in a team with Roman Reigns. He turned on Roman Reigns back in the day to be a bad guy and hit him with a steel chair. During the brawl that Seth's trying to stop Solo Sikoa from coming out, Roman Reigns looks at Seth, picks up the chair, and hits him the same way that he got hit when the Shield broke up. So there was that callback. So Seth Rollins is out. You're like, who's left that can help Cody fight? Because there's still guys from the Bloodline in the ring. Here comes John fucking Cena, right? John Cena in Philadelphia has never been cheered. They boo the shit out of him in New York and Philadelphia all the time. Because his first or his second really major title run, he beat RVD for the title because RVD was the champion. And RVD's a Philly, you know, ECW guy. He's their guy. He's our guy. Cena comes out, whoops ass on Solo Sikoa, beats the shit out of him. Everyone's there. Nobody expects Cena. They don't even hype it up that Cena's going to be there. Nobody expects Cena to come out. It was amazing. It was awesome. Then The Rock's music hits. And The Rock comes down and face-to-faces John Cena. And then beats the shit out of John Cena. Where are you at in this story? Cody's trying to win this title and finish the story and finally beat Roman Reigns after losing twice. 2-year battle, trying to fight him, get the title, and be the champion that everyone wants him to be. The Rock is literally the man in the way. So The Rock starts stomping on Cody Rhodes, who's all of a sudden, lights turn out, hear a funeral bell, lights turn back on, fucking Undertaker is behind The Rock. The Rock turns around, Undertaker grabs him, choke slams him, lights go back out, Undertaker disappears, Rock's laid out on the ground. They roll Rock out of the ring. Here comes Cody Rhodes. He comes in and wins the match. It was so well done. The timing was perfect. The story itself, it was like all the old guys were passing the torch to the new guys. It just was so good. It made you feel good. And I haven't, like, wrestling has sucked. I don't even watch the new stuff. And it hasn't been that good in so long that it felt so cathartic to have it be that good. You see me talking about it now. I'm on 6 hours of sleep in 4 days. That's all I've had. And I'm this hype about it.